is Ted Kennedy. Bipartisan foreign policy is back on track on Aid to the Contras. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, Congress and the administration were deeply divided in the Reagan years over aid to the Contras in Nicaragua, and American policy suffered towards all of Central America. Now those divisions are behind us, and our policy is back on track. Congress and President Bush have reached a bipartisan agreement that permits humanitarian aid, but not military aid, to the Contras through next November, while we see whether the Sandinista government lives up to its commitment to permit free elections and take other steps towards a return to democracy. Equally important, the new arrangement has been praised by President Arias of Costa Rica, who won the Nobel Prize for his peace plan for the region. Now, for the first time in 8 years, instead of a war policy, the United States has a peace policy, too. Admit it, Al, President Bush is right on Central America, and you and President Reagan were far right.
Tough for you, isn't it, Ted? Now that old Ron Reagan is gone, his great fault was fighting proudly for democracy in Central America. Funny how that gets at you. We do have this brand new package of humanitarian aid for the Nicaraguan resistance, which seems to draw support from all sides. I'm on board, too, but the key is still Daffy Danny Ortega. We'll try to keep the Contras from starving to death while we wait to see if that bird keeps his promises for democratic elections next February. Considering his abysmal record to date, we may be waiting in vain for the promised reforms. President Bush has pledged full support for diplomatic efforts to end the internal conflicts in the entire region. This agreement for $45 million in aid is a great positive step, but we'll all be watching very closely this trip to see if the Sandinistas can finally keep a promise. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again next on the troubling Alaska oil spill. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Zealot environmentalists are hysterically going after President Bush's handling of the Alaskan oil spill. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, surely you won't join with those pointing their bony fingers at George Bush as being part of the problem with the ugly oil spill. He sent people to review the situation and troops to help in the cleanup. The president very much wants to make certain that everything is being done to solve the problem. Officials are now investigating to see if the captain of the Exxon Valdez was on the sauce while at the ship's helm or after the accident. If he was, he should be dealt with in the toughest terms. George Bush pledged a new attitude toward the environment as part of his new administration. That was an honest pledge, Ted. It is troubling for all of us to see our pristine oceans fouled in this way, but holding the President of the United States somehow responsible is wrong and grossly unfair.
Al, there's blame enough for everyone on that spill, starting with Exxon. But for a president who wants to be known as the environmental president, President Bush sure took his time getting involved. 24 hours after the tanker hit the reef, it was obvious that the accident was the worst oil spill in U.S. history. Within a day or two more, it was clear that the industry and local officials couldn't contain it. Night after night, the nation saw news reports of that sickening slick spreading hundreds of miles, staining everything in sight. Yet President Bush waited 2 full weeks, Al, before he finally acted. What was he waiting for? The slick to hit Washington? To make matters worse, the president kept insisting he wouldn't change his plans to allow oil drilling in the vast Arctic Wildlife Refuge. The president means well on the environment, Al, but it'll take a lot more on-the-job training to make this oil president an environmental president, too. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the minimum wage. Does President Bush really want to make this his first veto? Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. President Bush says he'll veto the minimum wage bill that Congress is sending him. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, it's hard to see what President Bush means by kinder and gentler when he's threatening to veto the long overdue increase just approved by Congress in the minimum wage. For 8 years, the Reagan administration stonewalled any increase. The minimum wage lost 40% of its value to inflation, and thousands of low-income workers are forced to live in poverty. In the 1988 campaign, candidate Bush couldn't take the heat of the Reagan position, so he promised to raise the minimum wage. Now, the promise has a hollow ring, because the increase he proposed is too small even to make up the ground lost to inflation. That's not fair. No one who works for a living should have to live in poverty. Let's make the minimum wage a living wage, Al. If President Bush uses his veto to keep working men and women in poverty, Congress should override the veto.
Ted, the president's minimum wage proposal is a darn good one. He wants to raise it to $4.25 an hour while giving employers a chance to pay new employees a training wage at the current minimum wage, but only for 6 months. The training wage really helps young people who have little or no skills. They're the ones who will have the toughest time getting a job when the minimum wage is increased. Youth unemployment is now 16%, three times the national average. Without a training wage, labor costs rise and employers are going to hire fewer workers. The young and unskilled are the losers, Ted. You can afford to look away. Massachusetts' teenage unemployment rate is only 7.7%, but in my state of Wyoming, it's 24.9%, and I don't want to tell our fine young people to forget about jobs until they're skilled. For many, that just means never. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again next on Drug Czar Bill Bennett's test case plan for the District of Columbia. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Will Ted Kennedy go along with Drug Czar Bill Bennett's test case method to help rid the District of Columbia of drugs, crime, and killing? We'll face off in a moment. Ted, Bill Bennett is doing just the job we sent him to do, and he's cranking up by getting our own house in order right here in old D.C. His tactics are tough. That's just what we need right now. People are shot up here in record numbers. The lure of the fast cash even has teenagers dealing the stuff. It's a crisis that cries out for bold measures. When we held hearings in Judiciary Committee on Bennett's nomination, we knew he was no wallflower. He calls them as he sees them. His plan for the district will bring many forces together to join in the fight. Police, prisons, schools, housing projects, and more. It's a comprehensive, cooperative plan designed to snuff out this hideous blight. Ted, you join me in the Senate to support Bill Bennett's nomination. Going to stick with his tough plan to clean up this nation's capital, Ted?
Al, Drug Czar Bill Bennett's plan for the District of Columbia is a good first step to rescue the capital from the stranglehold of drug traffickers and help the city fight back against the epidemic of crime. If the plan has a fault, it's that Mr. Bennett is taking his new title of czar too literally. The plan won't work without cooperation from the local D.C. government, yet Mr. Bennett simply dropped the plan on the city and announced it at a press conference with no local officials present. Tactics like that undercut the real promise offered by the plan. Federal investigators and intelligence analysts can help local officials break up drug networks. The Narcotics Trial Unit can expedite drug prosecutions, and new federal prisons will house local offenders. It's the first major test of the new federal drug law. If it works in D.C., it can work elsewhere, too. But it won't succeed, Al, without a little more cooperation and a little less czar. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Justice Department is threatening to abolish a proven law enforcement technique against organized crime. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, one of our most effective law enforcement tools is the use of so-called strike forces against organized crime. The concept was developed 20 years ago as a means of assembling teams of top federal investigators and sending them to cities with serious organized crime problems. The idea worked brilliantly. The success of the strike forces is written large in terms of numerous convictions of organized crime figures in many regions of the country. But success had its price. The local United States attorneys have always chafed under the competition of strike force on their turf. The Justice Department is talking about eliminating these specialized units by folding them into local U.S. attorneys' offices. That's one bad idea, Al. The strike forces have unique capability to combat drug kingpins and organized crime. We need more of them, not none of them.
Ted, here you go again. You're firing from the hip, missing by a country mile. The Justice Department hasn't threatened anything. Remember, Ted, they are in the business of fighting crime. The plan is to merge the organized strike forces and the U.S. Attorney's offices in the cities where they coexist. The purpose of the merger is to get rid of duplicate efforts to enhance the fight against organized crime. The idea is now under study. No decisions have been made. But let's give our fine Attorney General the chance to learn of the merits of the plan from his co-workers before we draw the conclusions ourselves. Ted, there isn't a single U.S. attorney office in the country that has been more aggressive or successful in the war against organized crime than the office in Manhattan. And guess what? It merged with the strike force years ago. That's a promise, not a threat, Ted. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again next on our fine new baseball commissioner, Bart Giamatti. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Baseball's new commissioner of America's pastime steps up to the plate at a very turbulent time. Can he stand in and whack one out? Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, your fellow Red Sox fan and a great guy, Bart Giamatti, is faced with some difficult duties as he succeeds Peter Ueberroth as baseball's commissioner. Pete restored that healthy fan support and financial stability to the game of summer and must be given great credit. Still, Giamatti inherits many unanswered questions. There are the troubling public morals of kids' heroes Pete Rose, Wade Boggs, and Steve Garvey. A Senate task force is prodding the commissioner into expanding baseball into new cities. And there is the ominous chance that nary a pitch will be thrown in 1990 if players and management can't iron it out. It's a big order for any guy, Ted, even a Red Sox fan. But I know Bart Giamatti, and I hunch he is more than equal to the task. I'll be rooting for him all the way.
Your eyes on the ball today, Al. Some things are of enduring importance, like baseball and politics. These are turbulent times for America's national sport, but Bart Giamatti looks like the right man for the job. He knows baseball well enough to be for the Red Sox and against the designated hitter rule. I'm sure he'll have the skill as commissioner to save the 1990 season from the strike coming at it and see the game through the difficult period. With a little luck, he may even achieve what he calls his highest priority, turning ballparks into safe and pleasant places again for fans and their families. Peter Ueberroth also deserves credit, Al, for his years as commissioner. He left the leagues flying high financially, and he may yet get the chance to do the same for Eastern Airlines. One other point, Al. I loved Rain Man, but I also love baseball, and for my money, Bull Durham deserved the Oscar as Best Picture of 1988. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Bush administration has no idea what to do about U.S.-Soviet relations. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, talk about agonizing reappraisals. Does the White House have any policy at all towards the Soviet Union? So far, the silence has been deafening. The problem is the right wing thinks Ronald Reagan went soft on the Soviets. They're afraid he gave away the store. They're still counting the silver at the White House, wondering what happened to their Cold War. Meanwhile, Gorbachev keeps on trying to warm things up. In London the other day, he made a significant new gesture on arms control. He unilaterally shut down two Soviet reactors that produce plutonium for nuclear weapons. U.S. military reactors have been down for a year because of serious problems in our own plants. Why not respond to the Gorbachev gesture, Al? Why not take advantage of the current situation and negotiate a permanent ban by both nations on plutonium production? Is anyone at the White House listening, Al, or thinking?
They're doing both, Ted. Sounds like a bad case of sour grapes to me, pal. With Ronald Reagan leading the way, U.S.-Soviet relations improved dramatically in these recent years. Tough losing at your own game, isn't it? We've made tremendous strides with arms limitations, human rights, and peace. Gorbachev has made encouraging overtures and much-needed reforms, but it sure ain't time to giggle and jump around the campfire. Ted, surely you aren't so naive to believe that Gorbachev doesn't have his own purely selfish agenda. He's a flamboyant statesman and a tough politician, but also a public relations master. It's long past time for the Soviets to put their domestic house in order, to pull away from their costly military and client state support. He's just taking care of pressing business out on the old homestead. You've been around long enough to spot that, haven't you, Ted? This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the negotiated budget agreement. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The new deficit reduction package unveiled by the President and congressional leaders is a pretty big positive step in tackling this vexing federal deficit. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the best thing about the effort is that it wasn't done while under the gun of some crisis deadline. Sure, we have a long way to go in this tough game, but the $28 billion generated in this thoughtful agreement signals an important turning point in bipartisan cooperation on this annual budget struggle. The burden of the reductions is spread between spending cuts and revenue increases, and you can't even shriek Pentagon anymore, Ted. It's been capped, too. President Bush and my Wyoming friend Defense Secretary Cheney are dealing with this budget deficit in a serious and sensible way, just what the American people would like. You should like that too, Ted. We are steadily chipping away at the problem, Ted, with steady bipartisan cooperation. I'm ready for the heavy lifting, pal. Are you?
Al, stop cheerleading for that shameless budget gimmickry. You're ignoring reality. The administration claims the agreement meets the deficit target by reducing it to $100 billion next year. But that's Rose Garden rubbish, Al. No one, but no one, in Congress or the administration, believes that will happen. If we use accurate economic assumptions about inflation and interest rates next year, instead of the gerrymandered numbers peddled by the administration, the deficit is $30 or $40 billion higher than the administration says. It's not hard to understand what's going on, Al. Honest federal budgeting has flown out the window, and hypocrisy reigns supreme. For another full year, the economy sails on into uncharted waters. If a reef lies ahead, Al, the administration will be to blame for leading us deeper into debt instead of facing up to the problem. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the coming confrontation between Congress and the President over the minimum wage. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Is President Bush serious about vetoing the minimum wage bill? In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, what gives with President Bush's intransigence on the minimum wage? He negotiated on every other major issue that divides us. Aid to the Contras, the budget compromise, the savings and loan rescue. Why not the minimum wage? To millions of low-income Americans, the answer is obvious. The president doesn't even care enough to listen to their case. The message is clear. Kinder and gentler doesn't mean them. For 50 years, the minimum wage has been part of the nation's social contract. It's a promise by America to every citizen. If you work for a living, you don't have to live in poverty. You Republicans like to talk tough about forcing welfare mothers to take jobs, Al, but when it comes to a fair day's pay for a full day's work, you're nowhere in sight. Does President Bush really want to go down in history as the first president to veto the minimum wage?
Ted, this passionate and obsessive crusade for a minimum wage increase has gummed up your gray matter. Saying that the president doesn't even care about low-income Americans, that won't cut it. In fact, President Bush has negotiated on the minimum wage. It's your side that's stubborn as a mule. He's ready to raise the minimum, but not by burying America's small businesses or punishing young and unskilled workers as your proposal would do. The president wants a good, solid increase to $4.25 per hour. And his plan includes a 6-month training wage pegged at the current minimum wage that employers can pay to new workers. With your plan, Ted, those workers lose, not win. We just have to help workers to better handle an increasingly complex world. They need basic skills and good, honest-to-God employment opportunities. The training wage gives them that single key, Ted. A political wage hike without it only locks their doors tight. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Democrats say those rascal Republicans have stonewalled campaign finance reform these past years. Boy, it's time to set that record straight. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, Republicans are really ready to bargain for true reform. But at the table, you and your pals ought to take off those white hats. They don't match well with the color of all that green special interest money. PAC spent $172 million last year, and 7 of every 10 bucks went to incumbents, mostly Democrats. Republicans want to shift the balance of power back to the individual, increasing their contribution limit from $1,000 to $2,000, while cutting PAC limits from $5,000 to $1,000. Ted, you and your chums want to cap spending limits. That just further stacks the deck against challengers and helps to entrench the incumbent. We do want to work in good faith for some real campaign finance reform, Ted, but not insult the American public with an office holder for life plan.
Al, Democrats have tried many times to enact campaign reform, but you've stonewalled us each time. You've even used filibusters to prevent real reform. It's obvious why you reject campaign spending limits and double the ceiling on individual contributions. Republican candidates and wealthy contributors would like that just fine. That's why we need limits on spending and ceilings on contributions, to keep fat cats with special interests from buying elections. Campaign spending is out of control. We need to rein it in, not blast it into higher orbit. It's time campaigns were waged on the issues, not which candidates can spend the most money on slick television commercials to attack their opponents and tilt the election. We have the best Congress money can buy, Al, and your irresponsible position only makes the scandal worse. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on the drug AZT for people with AIDS. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy giving credit where it's due to the Bush administration for acting quickly to ensure a supply of the drug AZT to people with AIDS. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, your right-wing friends tried to kick AIDS patients when they were down the other day by blocking the federal program that funds the expensive life-saving drug AZT for those who can't afford it. The program has been periodically extended over the past 2 years. The latest extension was needed by the end of March, but this time a handful of Republican senators prevented Congress from acting. Faced with a gap that would cut off AZT for thousands of needy patients, the Bush administration found a way to avoid the interruption and extended the program by taking quick action on their own. The right wing is grumbling about what happened, Al, and about using federal funds at all for AZT. Join me in telling them to back off and give the administration credit for a timely and generous humanitarian act.
My guys kicking AIDS patients while they're down, Ted, isn't that a bit harsh, even hysterical? Of course I'll be joining you in commending the administration for extending the federal AZT subsidy program for low-income AIDS victims. His swift humanitarian response to this life-and-death crisis truly demonstrates the president's compassion. But let's back up a sec, Ted. Take a closer look. The extension you mentioned was a bill you trotted on up to the Senate floor without giving the rest of your colleagues a chance to even take a look at it. My right-wing friends are a little tired of these little fast ones you pull. They jerked your chain. Credit bipartisanship, Ted. The letter that you and Republican Senator Hatch sent to HHS Secretary Sullivan with 13 co-signers from both sides of the aisle, that received a great response. Funny how that works, isn't it, Ted? We must always come at that long-term health problem with vision and bipartisan vigor. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. The Postal Service is now back off budget as part of the new deficit reduction package. Can it really tow its own boat this trip? Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, President Bush and congressional leaders have hammered out a good plan to meet deficit reduction targets for 1990. The package includes a saving of $2.2 billion by freeing the U.S. Postal Service and its annual deficits from federal budget control. Strict guidelines were required to trim massive postal spending when they went on budget in 1985. Now, in return for this fresh new start, the Postal Service will be solely responsible for $500 million in their own retirement COLAs and health benefits. Still, many questions beg to be answered. Just how does the Postal Service account to the federal government for revenues and expenses now that it's off budget? What if it can't pay its bills? Do we, the taxpayers, automatically then loan them the bucks? Any answers on that one, Ted?
Al, the budget negotiators did the right thing, but for the wrong reasons when they moved the Postal Service off the federal budget. The post office is a business, and it should be run as a business, raising its own revenues and paying its way. But sound business planning is not possible if it's part of the budget. Across-the-board spending cuts in recent years have hurt operations through no fault of their own. But the budget negotiators weren't thinking of good postal management when they made this decision. They wanted the post office deficit out of the budget, so the overall deficit will look smaller. The real test comes next year, when stamp rates go up, a postal surplus results, and the administration tries to bring it back into the budget. Tell your friends downtown to cut the flim-flam, Al. It's wrong to make the post office a political football. It belongs off budget, that's where it's now, and that's where it should stay. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off next on child care for working couples. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. Working parents deserve more help than Republicans are willing to provide on child care. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, I know you right-wing Rip Van Winkles still think a woman's place is in the home and that child care centers are some kind of communist baby farms. Wake up, Al. It's the 1980s. More than half of all preschool children have mothers in the workforce. As barriers of sex discrimination continue to fall, more and more women are working full-time because they want to work or have to work. For 24 million working parents, child care is two things, a necessity and a nightmare. No parent should have to go to work, worrying whether their child is safe. Now a Democratic Family Initiative is moving through the Congress to provide safe and affordable child care. It's called the ABC Bill, and you'll be hearing much more about it in the weeks ahead. If you care about working parents, Al, learn your ABCs, and don't just say no to child care.
Ted, when I was a kid, ABC stood for bubblegum. We said it had already been chewed. There sure were some better choices then, my friend, and there are now. Quality child care is certainly a priority. For me, you, and our fine president, his proposal is a much better choice, and I'm pleased to be a co-sponsor. It pays out money for child care services to low-income families, but allows them the flexibility to make their own choices. The administration plan gives low-income families a generous tax credit for each child under age 4, but it doesn't penalize parents who want to stay at home with their children. Some very fine child care providers that now exist won't see a penny of the $2.5 billion you want to ladle out. And the regulatory requirements of this government-mandated plan will run others right out of business. If licensing grandmothers is really your bag in the 1980s, Ted, then wake me up when it's all over. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Senator Al Simpson. Environmentalists are slavering at the chops to buy up a lot of private land for national parks and refuges, but we ought to move with some caution. Ted Kennedy and I will face off in a moment. Ted, the environmental community is all a-twitter, hoping that Congress and the Bush administration will buy off on another grand scheme to purchase vast amounts of land to add to our already extraordinary national park system. The American Heritage Trust bill, pushed hard by some in Congress last year, has some bad news in it. It would provide for a large-scale buy-up of private lands without congressional supervision, and it ignores the much-needed regular maintenance of our crown jewels like Yellowstone and Yosemite. Every time Uncle Sam buys up an acre of land, that takes away an acre from the local tax base and disrupts local economies. We surely need to protect and preserve appropriate lands, Ted, but a massive land grab is simply not the way to go.
Spoken like a true developer, Al. Why buy land for national parks, you say, when private developers can come in, cut it clear, strip it bare, drill it dry, and lay it waste for profit? People who like Ronald Reagan on the environment must love you, Al. You've even out-Reaganed Reagan this time. The American Heritage Trust, you oppose, is an idea that came from a commission appointed by President Reagan to study the issue of land acquisition. The Reagan administration didn't win many environmental awards, but even they recognized the need to add to our national parks. On an environmental scale of 0 to 10, Al, the Reagan administration was close to 0, but you're at minus 5. I'll agree with you on one thing. We do need more funds for maintenance of magnificent parks like Yellowstone and Yosemite. But we wouldn't even have those parks today, Al, if previous generations had followed old anti-environment Al Simpson's develop it or bust mentality. This is Ted Kennedy. Senator Al Simpson and I will face off again on Monday on the Mutual Broadcasting System. This is Ted Kennedy. The Iran-Contra scandal is back. The bad news for the White House. In a moment, Senator Al Simpson and I will face off. Al, an unanticipated consequence of the Oliver North trial is the disclosure of new information about President Bush and the Iran-Contra scandal. The president has always said he wasn't involved in the scandal. He made it to the White House partly because there was no evidence he was. But new documents reveal he went to Honduras at a critical time, when Congress was cutting aid to the Contras and other countries were being secretly and illegally urged to pitch in. The White House says that when the president went to Honduras, he talked only about U.S. aid to that country without linking it to aid to the Contras. So far, it's a small cloud on the horizon, but it's strange that those documents were never seen by the Congressional Committee looking into the scandal. The investigation's open again, Al. Are you willing to let the chips fall where they may?
buffalo chips for you, Ted. The chips have fallen, and it just chaps you that they didn't fall your way. The only scandal here exists in your fertile mind. The Tower Commission did its exhaustive work. The Joint Congressional Committees followed up with hundreds of hours of receiving testimony and reviewing documents. Now the judicial system is doing its work. There is absolutely nothing sinister or dramatic about a vice president visiting a foreign country or discussing foreign aid there or anywhere. Even if that visit takes place when other vital issues of U.S. foreign policy are getting attention both at home and abroad. The president has now spoken on Honduras. No quid pro quo. I believe him. You don't. You want him out? These are dried old bones, Ted. Now you're trying to exhume them and bury the president, dragging him through the mud. For what purpose? You're grasping at straws, my friend. It's unbecoming conduct. This is Al Simpson. Ted Kennedy and I will face off again next on George Bush's first 100 days in office. Tune in tomorrow on the Mutual Broadcasting System.